We're holding here at the beginning of Perkir Aleph. We're speaking about the inyanim of Torah giving a person the hatzlacha, the bringing a person to olam haba and gashmis and so on, ruchnis and so on. So now he's referring back to that question again of why it is that a person gets his olam haba and his ruchnis only from a gashmiistic type of learning and study, as opposed to philosophy, which was a point that the philosophers had tried to make, especially the Greek philosophers, that it's the larger transcending concept, so to speak, that bring a person into a world that is not physical and so on, which he rejects, obviously. And he says, since I explained to you before, Ashes Ba'alpeh Kodem, Kloyik Nora Matzach Achron Dei Chochma, Rakim Adir Boisparach, that it's not Chochma, but it's rather Dveikas Nakadosh Baruch Hu. Now let's stop at this a moment, and let's understand a point that he's making here, a divider. We praise Chochma, and so do more refined non-religious people praise Chochma. Everybody praises Chochma. The difference seems to be as if the Ummas HaOlam naturally feel that, or let's put it as the Chachmei Ummas HaOlam, put it that way, that's a better way to put it, feel that any type of Chachma in itself is a spiritual undertaking, that's that. Even today it's like that. A more refined and cultural person tends to think, feel that great accomplishments in that realm are important, and it doesn't really make a difference what religion or what point. The main thing is an activity which is spiritual. So he says, that's not true. We understand Chachma is the most significant point as a means of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the way in which a person connects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through Chachma. So if there's going to be some issue with that, it's not going to happen. That's very simple. So he says, Lafika Hashela, Loma lo yikne, Ha'odam atzacha nitzla, the idea of Chachma, Shem Ranana Teva,
and therefore their question was, why is it that when you since Chachma in itself is spiritual, so one would assume that the level, the type of Chachma which is spiritual in its nature, like dealing with angels and stuff like that, that would be the way to go to become eternal and so on. So he says, And the question, if that's your attitude, that's your assumption, then the question as to how and why a person could acquire those types of that type of eternity and spirituality by engaging in mundane issues such as Baba Kama, about acts that gore each other, or even Taharis, about all sorts of stoves that have been taken apart, put together, so what? Whereas a person thinks about deeper spiritual bodies, entities, that would definitely make him a more spiritual person. So he says, Shezoya Shailim Hoyakona Tzlocha de Chachma. It would be right if having the Chachma itself is what makes the person nitzchi. In other words, if my basis was similar to what the secular philosophers said, that Chachma within itself is the means for bringing a person to Olam Haba, then it would make a lot of sense. But if Avol Eina Dabakach Rakat Slocha Mashe Choch Mikna Dveikus Beisparach, the Chochme in effect is simply a means to getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's take an example a person can have a conversation with someone else, and the point of the conversation is the topic. In other words, we're trying to discuss how or why something works, and the other person is a smart fellow, and we work it out together, and that's the point of conversation. We can, however, also, I can be trying to engage in some conversation because of the desire to become closer to that person, and that's only possible if the person is a if I'm engaged in that particular conversation with that in mind. So if a person starts talking to me about XYZ and I don't have the intention of getting close to the person, my answer will be short, abrupt, to the point, and that's it. Whereas when I'm trying to get close to the person, my answer will tend to be a lot richer, a lot deeper, a lot finer, and so on. I'm going to try to get to the person. I'm using it as a means. Which one of them is closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The knowledge of these different items, elements, or the knowledge of the Torah? These galgalim don't have any special connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's go back to the point we made before, and let's sharpen it, because that's the point that he's making here. One may say that the celestial beings are more refined, more pure, whatever you want, than physical items, and therefore a person who engages in that is engaged in something that's a little more spiritual. But in of itself, it has really no Shaykhus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In of itself, it stands on its own, that's that. The Torah is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. In other words, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want in this case? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want in this case? More than anything else, when I'm learning Torah, I am attempting to discern HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. That's the difference. So we are not, if we're looking for something close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not express any special Ratzon about the Galgalim or whatever it is, those quote-unquote higher beings, then I haven't really, then this item hasn't brought me any closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not serving as a bridge to get there. Whereas Mishpatei HaTorah, mitzvahs of Torah, since those mitzvahs are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desires and so on, then that has brought me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as such. And it really makes no difference what the topic is. The point of Torah is I am discussing what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants in this particular case, in this particular situation, out of this particular being or thing or whatever it is. Vehine says, "Min advarim Hashem yiduim ke ein davar sheyoyserol esdabek beisbach rak hayosha." He says that if we're to ask ourselves, what is it that which mida is it that is closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I would have to say yosher. And anything that leaves, so to speak, leaves Yosha. Kala Yosha Lunikra Shem Yitzir of Loshem Richu Klal, Rak Shem Yitzir Nikra Ala Yotzim and Ayosha, Ubezesha Yitzir Berichuk. Okay, so let's discuss this point over here. So he says over here that Yosha is the Mida that we are. That is closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's going to tell us very soon that Torah is Yosher. Let's talk about this a little bit, and this is a bit difficult to understand. Yosher means straight, which in itself is something that needs explanation. How did that word become a good midah? I mean, we do speak colloquially about something that's straight, you know, straightened and narrows being very positive. We sort of align it with honesty and things of that nature, which is definitely good. But how does that translate to the word yosher in Hebrew? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Osisa tova yosher. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants is to do that which is yosher. So there's Yishrei Lev. There's a lot that's called yosher, and we have a hard time figuring out what does yosher mean. Yes, a line that's crooked is crooked, a line that's straight is straight, it's nice and straight, but how does that translate into a human activity or a human mode of interaction that I could compare it to this? So let's, and more than that, the word yosher is loaded because a society that thinks A to be right, so anyone whose path of life is on the line A, on that line, will be yosher. Anyone off will not be yosher. So let's say, for argument's sake, in Nazi Germany, a person who was very uneasy about what the government was doing and was sort of always trying to get out of what they told him to do might be seen as being very crooked. He's avoiding killing people, he's avoiding following orders. They might have considered that person to be not yosher. So how do we define yosher in a way that can be seen as an absolute value rather than just relative, whatever that value is? So let's first try to define yosher in a way that is that fits with what I think he's talking about. By the way, the Rambam also speaks about the concept of yosher, and he says it when in Hilchos Deos Gimel and in Perek Aleph in Halacha Gimel Dalet, when he speaks about what is the appropriate midos. He says every midah has different extremes, and yosher is the midpoint of those extremes. And again, he calls that yosher, and we need to explore why is it called, of all the things, why is it referred to as yosher? I you know, it's the good, it's right, but in what way is it yosher? So let's define it. Imagine I am any hanhaga, any type of endeavor, activity, etc., is something that's trying to move something from a point to another point. That's a point of origin, point of destination. Every process is like that. It's a process of trying to do things and bring them from point A to point B and so on. Now, we can, if all I do is go from point A to point B, then I have taken the straight road. For instance, let's say I decide my life's dream is to be a great musician, and there's nothing else in the world I want. So I sit down with a great music teacher, and I say, okay, clue me in, what does a great musician do? What does a person do who's going to become a great musician? And I want nothing but that. And the person says, okay, you practice 5 hours a day, and then 6 hours you do this, and then this is this, and so on. I do it exactly, and nothing else but that, and everything that I was told to do, and I use all my times to advance up musically. That's called yosher, because it's the straight line from me to him. My road has not been affected at all. Let's take it a very physical plane. I'm going from here, from Washington to New York, and that's what I want to do. So I go online and look at the straightest road. It could be the straightest road, it could be quick, so it doesn't make a difference. But my path is dictated solely by two factors: where I'm coming from, where I'm going to. And the point that takes me from where I'm coming from, going to, that is my journey, that's my path. That's called yashus. However, let's say as I'm traveling on that road to the 95, on the 95 to go to New York, there's a nice restaurant on the side. So now I have two things pulling at me. I have the need to go straight to New York, and the restaurant on the side that sort of exerts an influence on me, it tugs me. So what I do is I detour, and I go to the restaurant, I eat, and then I continue. So my path has just become detoured because there was another factor influencing. It's just like when they shoot, when they explore different properties of particles, of atomic particles, they will shoot particles at a target, and depending on what type of particle, if you put magnetic fields on the side, it will tug at it out of its path, and it will detour somewhat. The same thing is true with gravity and planets, orbits. Whenever you have something on the side exerting some sort of influence, that creates a detour that's away from Yasher. So we have Yasher, and we have things that are detouring from Yasher, and things that are taking us around and about in a way that is circumventing it's not quite a straight line, because there was something else affecting it. Okay, in Midos, which the Rambam speaks in those days and calls something Yosher, there's the interaction with a person that is direct and appropriate, and then there are other things. So for instance, if I need to ask them for something, but I also have a little bit of gaiva, I mentioned about how wonderful I am. I add that to conversation. I need to feed somebody, but I'm a little bit hesitant, so I don't do it, and so on. These are all different types of activities which I do and are affected by some sort of draw on a side that's moving me in one direction or the other. Those are the elements of Yosher versus non-Yosher. So whenever a person has Torah is called Yosher because Torah is the study of things that bring me close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and direct me towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the study of Yosher is. Now, says Kela Yosher lo nikra shem yitziv lo shem klal, rak shem yitziv nikra la yotzim la Yosher. Ubezeh shayach yitziv v'richuk. Vayoshu b'Torah. Torah is Yosher means this is the road to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what Hashem wants in this case, and this is what you shall do. Lefikach al yedei haTorah hu shekon hakir v'chibo yisbarach. Ke'en liyosha yitzia klal. In other words, within the framework of things that are direct, there are no curves. V'chen adi asiyas ha-mitzvah. Mipnei shaTorah yosha ba'atzmo. V'yosha emarichot l'kach kal shem yisbarach. So mitzvahs and so on, the whole content of a mitzvah is the what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Now let's go back to the mashal I gave you. If I inject some element of what I want, I'm now deflecting it a bit, and the road I'm going to get is not quite a straight line. It's going to curve depending on how much my own interest was involved. V'areya hefet sheish ben Yisrael asho oisik b'shar chachmis. So the Chachma of Klal Yisrael is the Chachma of that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, whereas other Chachmas have in themselves divine points, but that's not defined as that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Sha'av Shemayim Lezakeh Be'necha. In other words, anything but Torah is not in itself a study of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Malachim are wonderfully spiritual entities. They're not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in as much as they're not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, any interaction, study about it, or engagement of it is not going to be Yosha. So no matter how much I deal and talk about malachim, all sorts of wonderful things, I'm never talking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He says, so they can't inherently, they don't bring anything close to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Even though the Torah deals with Dvarma Gashmim, halo be'arno dovaze pomim harbe, ke'ein dovaze doime, ke'ein ha'torim ha'yenes mimohus ha'gashmim ha'chon. Rak ha'mais yas odem ha'shegoz ha'shem yisbarach, u'gzer shoshes min ha'yosha. So, whenever I'm studying Torah, even if it deals with very physical items, but since those items are being studied in light of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, then they are HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But let's give an example. If I study, I guess, different types of paints, the chemistry of different types of paints, so I can study it as a chemist does, and then my focus is on how to produce and what ingredients produce a particular type of dye, and that's wonderful, and that's studying about dye. So yes, the dyes are then used for art, for painting, but that's not really what I'm studying. But imagine that I'm studying art, and I need to study about different dyes in the composition to help give me a sense of what it is that they could be used for. In other words, what is this dye being used for in this particular context? How do I get a green that looks like a forest? So now I'm really studying it as part of art. So I need to understand what chemicals in the color give me the effect, the forest effect, the ocean effect, whatever it is. So there I'm studying the very, very different. I'm not studying the chemistry for the sake of the chemistry. I'm studying the artistic the artistic results coming out of chemistry. And that's very, very different than just studying about things that are that are not relevant to the topic. So he says, so when the Torah talks about oxen growing each other, the Torah is talking about what is the right responsibility for someone when he owns property that damages. And so I'm talking about responsibility that the Torah wants. How does Kosh Baruch Hu want me to be responsible, pay for it, etc., etc.? So he says, and every time I look into something in itself, there's always going to be some sort of shortcoming. I need to find the nekuda in everything that leads to the point of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's take an example to what he means over here. A person makes an event. An event, a lot of things go into it. The type of decor, the food, the program. If when a person, so the person coordinating the event has one thing in mind, how to make the event a success. It's a fundraiser for yeshiva. It's a goodbye party for this. It's a welcoming ceremony for the other thing. Each and every one, so the fellow who's the chef, he's really focusing on the food, and more of a focus on the food, and he's not so, and he may therefore make decisions that are not in keeping with the general atmosphere. So let's say he wants to make something that's really tastes fantastic, but the guest of honor can't eat it, or it takes too long to serve, or whatever it is. All of those things will deflect it off course. So every entity in the Bria has a Chacham Kadosh Baruch Hu, but because it's only one element of the Bria, it doesn't have that nekuda that makes it to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, well, person, let's present the question and let's present his answer. Since everything in the world is God's handiwork, why not studying botany will give you a sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and bring it closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The answer is because a tree in its own right, as such, is not the picture of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a tree is studied in context with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in other words, the tree is studied in the context of what's permissible, what's not permissible, Arla Kalayim, and so on, then we're beginning to have a sense of where the tree fits in vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if I look at Batni itself, I have an understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have a nice understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I certainly am missing something very, very significant. So he says,
first looks into these things. I want to add
another explanation to this. Someone once asked me the following question. He asked, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything, and so why studying science is not a divine pursuit? It's God's handiwork, and I'm studying God's handiwork and trying to understand it. Why is that not a divine pursuit? I told him that it's something that might help a person strengthen his emunah. As such, it's a very legitimate type of science, a type of discipline, but certainly it doesn't go into this klal. And he asked me this question, well, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it, why isn't that called Amseya HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So I gave him a mashal. I said the following mashal. Imagine a person is teaching art appreciation, and he shows you a picture of a painting painted by a great master. Now, there are two lectures. One lecture is, what is it that the painter meant to convey in this picture? He meant to convey a sense of loneliness, a sense of happiness, a sense of agony, whatever it is they meant to convey. That's one lecture. And the lecture explains how getting a sense of the different items of the painting, different elements of the painting, one is getting that feeling of whatever it is. A second one is, there's a lecture on the technique used. How did he get the glint in the eye? Well, if you take a look, they chipped off a drop of the paint here, and that's where it comes like that, and sort of the light reflects off it, and you get that glint. Now, the second one is an important piece. It's good. It's good to know it. It's good to understand it. But all you're going to see is technique, not content. And there's a huge gap between the two. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world that has in itself mechanics, in other words, the how and the why and the how he made it. That includes the sciences and everything with it, and that is important, and that's something that also gives you a sense of God's greatness. But it certainly doesn't go to the message, because you're studying the technique rather than the content. So science itself studies God's technique created world. Torah gives you a sense of what God had in mind. And that's the difference. So it's very similar here also. When you start studying the Mechus HaGashem Atzmam, or it's understanding the physical world as such, then you have this problem of not really getting to the heart of it. It's a very, very important thing to understand. It's a very deep thing to understand that Torah is Yosha. Val madrego mailzeis om a perke ba kiva dorish u gili loya later of Chista. Brich rachmane diavlan a risetly saw, la amtly saw, dately saw, beyondly saw, beyachtly saw. It's a chazal or Gemara Shabbos that says there was a certain something from Golol. They said about Rav Chista, blessed, he said to Rav Chista, blessed be a Kadosh Baruch Hu who gave us a triple Torah, which returned to Yom Ksubim. La amtly saw to a triple nation, Kahanim Yisraelim. I dately saw Moshe Rabbeinu was third. Beyondly saw on the third day of the day. Beyachatly saw, it's the third day after preparing themselves. Beyachatly saw the third month. So a whole bunch of things. He gave us threes, 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 all about threes. Ubir in Yazer. He was trying to praise Torah. Because all creations, being that they're lacking something, so whenever you're looking at anything in the Bria, they are pieces of the picture, and if the piece becomes the point, then you're missing the boat. Chemistry is part of a picture. Physics is part of a picture. It's not the picture itself. And if you focus on it as such, then you're missing something. The Loikach HaTorah. Torah is different. She gzeiras Hashem Yisbar, Shua Yoisha Legamri. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gzeira. That means that that's the direct line of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that comes through the Torah. Bezer Sham Richach Man Yor 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 whenever you have three, it's like when you do triangulation to get to a clear point, you have neither right nor left. You always have some sort of midpoint that you can refer to and say, this is the midpoint. He said that Kashmir gave us a Reis Tiso, which means Torah is something that aims specifically at that midpoint. It's something that's what Torah is about. We can even take and talk about the Amtliso and Yerchliso, and see that he talks about the Torah Tliso, but in Torah itself also. You have the Tliso in Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. Torah is that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us straight, and it was Mishlim Be'asot Grono. Ksuvim is that which we thought, but we were divinely inspired. Nevuah is some sort of midpoint between the two. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke, and we spoke it in our language. So wherever you have that midpoint over here, that's something which has in itself a quality of Yosha. So again, Yosha is to find the point of where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the core Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, anything. We assume that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu created has two qualities. It has a central point of this is what he wanted, and it has a way of expressing it which by nature broadens. So whenever I present something, I need to discern the center point from the points around it. The center point is Yosher, the other points are not Yashrus. So when I look around the Bria and I study different facts about the Bria, I have both of these properties. I have the central point of the property and a central property of something. And that is the Dvar Hashem. And then I have the surrounding, in other words, how Kadosh Baruch Hu got to it and what he did and so on and so forth. And that's the rest of it. Okay, we'll hold it here.